This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Cross-cultural views on self-awareness and emotion. Why the same feeling means something different across cultures. In short, cultural self-awareness is not just knowing what you feel. It is understanding that the lens you use to read your emotions was shaped long before you arrived in any room. Individualist cultures treat emotion as a personal, internal signal worth naming and acting on directly. Collectivist cultures treat emotion as a relational signal, something to be weighed against its effect on the group. Neither lens is wrong. Both are incomplete without awareness of the other. Definition: cultural self-awareness is the capacity to observe your own emotional states while recognizing that your cultural background shapes how you name, interpret, and respond to those states. It bridges inner experience and the social framework that gives that experience meaning. Roughly 40 words that an honest definition requires. What happens when you assume everyone reads emotion the same way? I watched a manager derail a team meeting once. Not through anger or incompetence, but through a well-intentioned habit. He had learned, through years of practice, to name his feelings out loud. "I want to be honest," he said. "I feel frustrated by our pace." He thought he was demonstrating cultural self-awareness. He thought he was being real. Three of his team members went quiet, not because they disagreed. Because in their experience, a leader naming frustration was a signal of blame, not openness. They spent the next hour managing his emotional state rather than the problem on the table. This is where the gap between self-awareness and cultural self-awareness costs you something real. You can know your internal world with great clarity and still misread the room entirely, because how you interpret your emotions and how others interpret them are not the same thing. This article separates those two concepts clearly so you can apply both with genuine skill. If you have ever wondered how amygdala hijack moments play out differently across teams, the cultural dimension is a major part of the answer. Self-awareness as an inner act versus a relational one. Self-awareness, in its simplest form, is the ability to notice what is happening inside you, your emotional state, your physical signals, your assumptions, your reactions. It is the foundation of every other emotional skill. You cannot manage what you cannot see. But here is the truth of it: the way you were raised teaches you what to look for. Weston. Individualist cultures tend to frame self-awareness as an inward act. You scan your internal experience, name what you find, and decide how to respond. The self is the unit of measurement. Feelings are personal property, worth honoring and worth expressing. Collectivist cultures, common across East Asia, much of Africa, Latin America, and the Arab world, frame self-awareness differently. The question is not only what do I feel, it is what does this feeling mean for us. The self exists in relation. Emotional awareness is less about naming your state and more about reading the situation accurately and protecting what the group needs. These are not just different communication styles. They are genuinely different frameworks for what self-knowledge is for. The core contrast. Two frameworks side by side. Dimension: individualist self-awareness, collectivist self-awareness. Primary question: what am I feeling right now? How does my state affect those around me? Unit of identity: the individual self, the relational self. Emotional expression: direct naming is valued as honest restraint is valued as mature and respectful. Goal of self-reflection: personal clarity and authentic action, social attunement and group harmony. Discomfort response: name it, address it, resolve it, contain it, protect the group, find time later. Emotional vocabulary: extensive, finely differentiated, often embedded in somatic or situational language. Feedback on emotions: seen as growth data for the individual, seen through the lens of face and relational impact. The table gives you the skeleton. Here is the flesh on those bones. The individualist framework treats emotional naming as a form of honesty and strength. Saying "I am anxious about this decision" is not weakness. It is clarity. It creates the possibility of direct problem solving. The risk is that this directness can land a self-absorption or emotional imposition when the people around you are working from a different frame. The collectivist framework treats emotional restraint as a form of wisdom, not suppression. Holding a feeling privately while reading the group's needs is a skill, not a deficit. The risk runs the other way: people raised in this frame can become invisible in individualist environments, the real concerns never surfacing until the damage is already done. Both risks are real. Both matter. And neither culture has the full picture. Where the two frameworks overlap. Here is what gets lost in the comparison. Both frameworks are trying to do the same thing. They are both trying to help a person navigate the world with less damage and more connection. The methods differ. The purpose does not. Strong self-awareness in either tradition requires you to notice your internal state before it controls your behavior. Whether you then name that state out loud or hold it quietly while attending to the room, the first step is identical. You have to catch the feeling before it catches you. Learning to stay calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction is the same challenge regardless of which framework you were raised in. The overlap is also where the real growth sits. A person who can hold their own internal experience clearly and read its relational impact simultaneously is more emotionally skilled than someone who does only one. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. When each framework serves you best. The individualist approach to self-awareness serves you well when precision matters, when you need to give honest feedback, when you are in a conflict that requires clear positions, or when you are coaching someone who needs to understand exactly where you stand. Naming your state directly reduces ambiguity. It builds the kind of trust that comes from transparency. The collectivist approach serves you well when harmony and belonging are the primary conditions needed, when a team is fragile after a hard period, when a relationship needs repair rather than resolution, or when the person across from you will hear direct emotional disclosure as aggression rather than openness. Managing workplace tension effectively often requires exactly this kind of situational sensitivity. Neither approach is a fixed identity. They are tools. The practitioner chooses the right one for the ground they are standing on. Three ways people get this wrong. These are the confusions I have seen cause real problems, each for a different reason. The mistake: treating emotional directness as universally courageous. Why it happens. In individualist cultures, naming feelings is taught as strength. People assume this translates everywhere. What to do instead? Ask yourself whether the context calls for clarity or containment. Directness in a low trust or high hierarchy setting can rupture exactly what you're trying to protect. The mistake: reading collectivist restraint as emotional unavailability or lack of self-awareness. Why it happens. If your framework equates awareness with expression, silence looks like absence. What to do instead? Recognize that a person who manages their emotional display with precision may have deeper self-knowledge than someone who names everything immediately. Watch behavior over time, not just disclosure in a single conversation. The mistake: assuming your cultural frame is your personal choice. Why it happens. Most emotional habits feel like personality, not inheritance. We do not notice the water we swim in. What to do instead? When a strong feeling arises, ask, is this my response, or is this what I was trained to do? That question alone is the beginning of genuine cultural self-awareness. The confidence competence loop explains why some people give better feedback, and part of that competence is knowing which emotional framework the other person is operating from. Building a practice that works across frames. The goal is not to abandon your cultural inheritance. It is to see it clearly enough that you can choose, rather than simply react. Here is a method I have tested and refined over many years. When you feel a significant emotional response, pause before you act on it. Ask three questions in order. First, what am I actually feeling, as specifically as I can name it? Second, is this response coming from the situation, or from a cultural script about how I'm supposed to feel here? Third, what does this moment actually require, direct expression or considered restraint? This is not a therapy exercise. It is a communication skill. Teams that build synergy faster are often ones where individuals have developed exactly this kind of flexible self-reading. And when amygdala hijack is destroying real-time team synergy, the breakdown is frequently a cultural mismatch that nobody has named. The second part of the practice is curiosity about others. When someone responds to emotion differently than you expect, resist the urge to diagnose them. They may be working from a different, but equally rigorous internal system. Ask questions rather than draw conclusions. Making synergy conversations less terrifying often starts with exactly that kind of genuine curiosity about how the other person experiences the same situation. What to carry forward from here? Self-awareness is not a single thing. It is a skill that takes different shapes depending on the soil it grew in. Individualist self-awareness gives you precision and honesty. Collectivist self-awareness gives you attunement and relational wisdom. Neither is complete without some capacity for the other. The most practically useful thing I can tell you is this: the people I have seen communicate best across cultures are not the ones who have eliminated their own frame. They are the ones who can see their frame, hold it with confidence, and set it down when a situation calls for something different. Cultural self-awareness, practiced with genuine humility and real consistency, is one of the few communication skills that makes every other skill work better. It does not replace emotional honesty or courage. It gives both of those things a better chance of landing where you intend. Frequently asked questions. What is cultural self-awareness? Cultural self-awareness is the ability to notice your own emotional states while also recognizing that your culture shapes how you interpret and express those states. It means understanding that your internal experience is real, but your framework for reading it is learned, not universal. How does culture affect self-awareness in the workplace? Culture shapes whether you're expected to name emotions openly, suppress them for group harmony, or express them through behavior rather than words. In individualist cultures, naming feelings is seen as honest. In collectivist cultures, protecting group harmony often takes priority over personal emotional disclosure. What is the difference between individualist and collectivist self-awareness? Individualist self-awareness focuses on internal experience. What do I feel? What do I need? What are my boundaries? Collectivist self-awareness focuses on relational position. How does my state affect the group? Am I maintaining harmony? What does this situation require of me? Can cultural self-awareness be learned as a skill? Yes. Like any skill, cultural self-awareness improves with practice. The method is simple. When you feel a strong emotion, pause before labeling it and ask whether your interpretation is personal or culturally inherited. Over time, this habit builds real flexibility in how you read yourself and others. Why does cultural self-awareness matter for emotional intelligence? Emotional intelligence requires accurate self-reading. If you assume your cultural framework for emotion is universal, you will misread people who use a different one. Cultural self-awareness closes that gap. It lets you hold your own emotional experience with confidence while staying genuinely curious about how others experience theirs. How do display rules affect emotional self-awareness? Display rules are the unspoken cultural agreements about which emotions can be shown, to whom, and in what situations. They shape what you notice in yourself, because emotions you are trained not to show often become emotions you stop fully registering. Awareness of your own display rules is a core self-awareness skill. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.